Have you been watching the news? Some terrible things are happening in our country. Terrible things. Misjustice, miscarriages of justice, lawlessness, aggression, violence. Terrible, terrible things. Stop resisting. Stop resisting. Have you heard that phrase on television or videos that you've seen? I remember seeing a video of two officers trying to subdue a man that was fighting them. They're trying to put handcuffs on him, and he's continuing to struggle. And one of the officers yells at the man, "Stop resisting! Stop resisting!" But naturally, he didn't stop resisting. It is an amazing indication of where our world is today. Let me throw a word at you. See what you think of it. Submit. Submit. Now, women are used to hearing this word. Men tend to struggle more with this word, I suppose. Submit. Do you like that word? This is a verb that means to yield to the power or authority of another. When we're growing up at home, we submit to mom and dad. When we're in school, we submit to a teacher. When we're out in the working place, we submit to a boss or a manager. When we're dealing with as citizens of a country, we submit to a government and government authorities. When we're dealing with the church, we submit to the elders. And in all ways, in all circumstances, we submit to God. Submission. In a Lads to Leaders speech that Schuyler Bunch gave years ago, he told the following story. Many of you will remember it as soon as I start. Those of you that do, pretend you're hearing it for the first time. Kim, you know, you can pretend you don't know the story, all right? The captain of the ship looked out on the dark night and he saw a light in the distance. So he signaled, or he sent orders to the signalman to send this following message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. In a moment, a message came back. Alter your course 10 degrees north. Well, they got closer. And the captain is angry. His command has been ignored, so this angry captain sends a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. That is an order. I am the captain. And a reply came back. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a seaman third class Jones, and that is an order. Whoa. The captain is furious now, and they're almost on each other. And so the captain sends this third message. I command you, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship. And then came the chilling reply. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I am a lighthouse. Submission is a hard thing. It doesn't come easy. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. May I just substitute a word here? But he who submits to the will of my Father. He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. No submission. No submission. I suppose it's possible for us to do good deeds and not be submissive. I suppose that we can be charitable and generous and helpful and not be submissive to God. I suppose we can do that. But there is a problem in our country. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? There's an old saying, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You can tell if it's pudding once you eat it. If you don't eat it, then you can't really be sure. Maybe that's what it's saying. What's the proof of our discipleship? I think it's submitting ourselves to do the will of God. That's the proof of discipleship. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So this morning, I want to look at how we submit to God. What does it take to submit to God? Open your Bibles to James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Now, everybody knows this passage. And you know the passage that Luke read to us a while ago from Romans 13. Very familiar with this passage about submitting to authority, submitting to the government. But James has given us some tips on how we can submit to God. And that's what I want us to focus on. There, he says in verse 7 beginning, verses 7 through 10 of James 4, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We've got resist and he will flee. Draw near and he will draw near. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Submit to God, resist the devil. Isn't that something? But what do many people do? What do so many people in the world do? They submit to the devil and resist God. Is that not the common curse of mankind? Isn't that what people are doing today? This absolute disregard for what is right and what is wrong. This absolute rejection of the authority of the Scriptures. The whole idea of the efforts to separate church and state is license, brethren. The state can be changed. The Bible can't be changed. And so the whole idea that's behind this, the agenda that's driving this, is not an effort to try to keep Christianity pure or keep the government pure. It's an effort to try to allow us to change the government, to ignore and go against the Christian principles on which our nation was founded. We talked about this last week. But while we're talking about resisting evil, resisting the devil, and he will flee from you, draw near to God, he will draw near to you, submit yourselves to God. So many people resist God and submit to evil. They submit to do that which they choose to do. And then he goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. You're laughing now. You're having a ball. You're enjoying yourself. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Let me just come back to this matter of laughter and mourning. I want to suggest to you three things this morning that will help us to submit to God. First of all, we submit by resisting. Now that doesn't even make sense when you first hear it. Submit by resisting? Well, you resist something in order to submit to something. When you think about it in light of this text, it makes sense. We resist evil in order to submit to do good. We resist Satan by submitting to God. And to submit to God, I must resist the devil. And then to resist the devil, I submit my will to God. That's how it happens, both ways. Both ways, both sides of this coin. I'm able to resist the devil by submitting to God. I'm able to submit to God by resisting the devil. See how it works? There's no way around that. When I obey God, I'm resisting the devil. When I do good, forgive a wrong, show compassion to someone in need, I'm resisting the devil. When I refuse to give in to sinful urges and desires, I'm submitting to God. When I don't give in to anger or hate, I am submitting to God. When you submit to God, you resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, you are submitting to God. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the tricks, the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of evil. Now, isometrics are a form of exercise where you can build up your muscle strength by using muscle against muscle, resisting against resistance. Some of y'all may remember the martial arts master Bruce Lee years ago. You know, he was nicknamed was the Dragon. He was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, martial artists of all time. And he did not lift weights. He used isometrics. He used this muscle resistance, this struggle, this pushing against to build up and bulk up and tone up his muscles to the point that he could do things that would amaze a person. Building up, resistance, wrestling. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle, we resist evil forces that are all around us. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, be sober, be aware, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. He's telling you how to resist him. Steadfast in the faith. You're not going to resist him by making sure you're well-armed and that you do target practice and you're ready to fire. That's not how you're going to resist the devil. You don't resist the devil by building up a strong military or by having a great Christian-like government. That's not. You resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. You got to hold on to something that's good in order to stay away from that which is evil. Resist the devil. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Brothers and sisters, we're at war. We've made this statement I don't know how many times, and I don't know how many more times we'll make it. I guess till the war is over. We are at war. The devil is out to kill you. He's out to destroy you and me. And he wants to trick us and trip us up any way he can. And he's trying to get us off track. He's trying to turn us away from the Lord. He's trying to distract us. And folks, things are happening here at Tanner. This church is just jumping right now. Things are happening all around us. And Satan is not happy with this, and he's going to try to do something to distract us. He's going to rear his ugly head in here, and he's going to try to do something to trip us up. Let's just not let him. Let's just not let him. This church has existed for over 100 years now. There's never been a split. God help us, there never will be. We love each other and we're going to stick together and we're committed to serving the Lord together, and as long as we keep doing that, no matter what trick Satan does, no matter what devastation he tries to put upon us, no matter what kind of trouble he tries to raise up in here among us and tries to divide us among each other, no matter what he does, it will fail. If we are committed to God and committed to one another, to be a family, to love, to help, to work, to serve. But the only way we can do this, the only way we can successfully resist the devil is by submitting to God. That's the only way we can do that. Our only hope, the only strength we have comes from the Lord. So we submit, first of all, by resisting the devil. Second, we submit by changing. We change. The word repentance comes to mind. Now, repentance is moving from one spot to another. It's a change of direction. You're turning from one thing to turn to something else. That's what repentance is. And so it's a movement. It's a movement from here to here, okay? And so he says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Nobody likes to move, do they? How long have you lived where you live now? Oh, well, we've lived in that house up there on Brahma Street 13, almost 14 years. Man, I don't want to move. And you know what? I ain't gonna. I'm just not gonna do it. There's too much stuff. I don't want to have to pack it all up. It's too much work. I have a little lazy streak in me. I'll go visit folks. I'll sit down, I'll study, I'll pray. I'll go to the hospital, I'll see you. I'll come to your house and I'll see you. Don't make me pack up my stuff. Don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. Hate it. Hate it. Isn't it awful to have to move? Hey, Stan, how you like moving? Stan don't like moving. I'm glad he don't like moving no more. Stan's moved a lot. And he did it to himself. And he did it to Allison too. Made her move. Moving is terrible. It's hard. It's hard on you. It's hard on everything. It's just tough. Moving implies resistance. To move implies resistance. If you're going to swim in the river, which direction would you prefer to swim? Downstream. Of course. Of course. That's natural. That's normal. We're going to be like water, and we're going to take the path of least resistance. That's just the nature of man. But the reality is we have to change. It's hard work to repent. It's hard work to change, to move from here to here, to move from resisting and rebelling against God to submitting to God. It's hard work to change, to repent. And some people just don't want to repent. They seem like they're having too much fun with their sins. One time a preacher announced, he did a survey, he did check the Bible out, and he announced in a series of lessons, he announced that there were 726 different sins that were listed in the Bible. Soon, he started receiving requests for the list because some folks were afraid they were missing out on something. Well, the reality is, if people are having too much fun in the world, they're not going to want to repent. They want to keep on living the way they're living. And that's why he's saying, you know, let your laughter be turned to tears. Let your rejoicing be turned to mourning. I mean, you know, you need to realize just what's going on here. You're fighting against God. You're going against God. See, people don't want to give up what they're doing. They don't want to move from where they are to become what God wants them to be. You know anybody like that? Are you like that? Am I like that? We all tend to want to keep things going like they're going. But all of us need to continue to realize, we need to continue to study and grow and learn. And when we see things in our lives that need to change, we need to change them, as hard or difficult as that may be. Why do people stop coming to church? Why? After the storms here in 74, well, this church was, boy, it was really hopping. There was more pews in here. You know those pews that are in there, those pews in back, they were somehow in here. I don't know how they had them all in here. This place was packed. You didn't have any knee room. There was over 300 people in here typically. I mean, this place was packed. Where are they? Well, a lot of them have passed on. A lot of them have moved to other places, but a lot of them quit going to church. Where are they? Why do people stop going to church? Why do they stop praying or studying the Scriptures? It may be, you know, it may be that we just don't know why people do what they do. You know, that could be the case. But the reality is that people get tired of resisting. They get tired of being asked to change, or they get tired of having to change, and they just quit. It doesn't happen instantly, but it does happen. It's too easy to be worldly. Do you know what you have to do to be worldly? Nothing. Just relax and go with the flow. That's how easy it is to be worldly. It's a challenge to be a Christian. Some people want God on their terms and not on His terms. You know, they may think, well, I'll go to church when I want to go to church. I'll read the Bible if I want to. If I don't, I won't. Perhaps they may say, I'm not going to give my money to the church. They got enough anyway. Or they just might say, I'm not going to do much at church. Let somebody else do it. C.S. Lewis wrote that there are two types of people in the world, those who say to God, Thy will be done, and those to whom God finally says, All right then, have it your own way. Remember the talking donkey? Have it your own way. If you don't remember that story, you need to read your Bible. Okay? It's in there. Can't we see it, brethren, that having our own way is nothing but trouble? It's all it leads to. Having it our own way, Burger King Christianity, is nothing but trouble. It leads us to trouble. If we want God's blessings, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, self has to be pushed aside. And God has to be put into the center position of our lives. He has to be the one that decides if we will or won't, if we do or don't. God's the one who has to decide if we're going to say or hush. God is the one. And of course, God is not speaking to you in still small voices or in the thunder. He's not speaking to you in dreams and visions. He speaks to you through His holy word. This is how God's going to speak to you. And so you've got to expose yourself to it and keep on studying, keep on reading, keep on praying. And God will reveal His will to you as you continue to study and to learn and to grow. But then you got to accept it. And you got to change the things that need to be changed. Somebody says, maybe someday, near the end of my life, I'll change my life and follow God. There was a fella, we were on a campaign in Indiana with Jerry Humphreys, who was here a few weeks ago, and we stopped along the way at this incredible place from the Depression era. There was this tabernacle up there in Indiana, and it belonged to a preacher named Billy Sunday. Anybody ever heard of him? Billy Sunday. Now, he was a denominational preacher, and he was big on fighting the devil. Boy, he was big on fighting the devil, and he'd get up there, and he'd act like he was boxing. He was a very animated preacher, and I've seen some videos on this guy. He was a character. But he made a statement that really strikes home here. He said, deathbed repentance is burning the candle of life in the service of the devil and then blowing the smoke into the face of God. Wow. Blowing the smoke into the face of God. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus made this statement, you know it well. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We submit to God by moving from a selfish, self-serving, sinful life to a life that is lived in the service of Jesus Christ. When we move toward God, God moves toward us. He will come to us and He will work in us if we will draw near to Him. He will help us to become what He wants us to be. So we've talked about resisting the devil. Resisting evil. Yes, indeed. Resisting evil. We've got to resist in order to submit to God. But then we've got to change. We've got to repent. We've got to change what we've been doing. And then we submit by grieving. And that's what he's talking about in James. That's what he's saying when he says, let your laughter be turned to tears. Let your, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's the repentance. Lament and mourn and weep. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. We need to grieve. We need to realize the sinfulness of our sin. Sometimes I think we try to minimize sin. Sometimes I think we try to make it sound like sin's not as bad as it is. But he says, cleanse your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands, you sinners. You know, one of the best things you can do to help prevent the spread of bacteria and disease is to get warm, soapy water and just wash your hands real good and wash them often. You cleanse those hands and it helps to prevent the spread of disease. Washing the hands is a very important thing, but washing the hands with water is not what James is talking about. Because, be careful little hands what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. What controls the hands, the feet, the ears, the mouth, the eyes? The brain. Cleanse your brain, cleanse your heart. Cleanse your hands, cleanse your heart. That's what he's saying. James is talking about this cleansing of the heart, the soul, the mind. When we sin, we need to cleanse ourselves. We need purification. You know, if you've read in the Old Testament, If you've read part of the Law of Moses, I know Leviticus can be a tough read. That can be tough. But there is so much in Leviticus and so much even in Deuteronomy and so much in Exodus about the purification that the children of Israel had to go through, these rituals of cleansing and purifying. Those had a reason. There was a meaning behind that. God is trying to help us to realize how sinful sin is, how unfit it makes us to be God's people. That's why we've got to turn away from sin. We've got to repent. We've got to turn away from it. We need to grieve over it, because if you grieve over it, you're less likely to go back to it. If you realize just how dirty and how ungodly and how unholy and how incorruptible and how miserable, how putrid, what an awful stench it is to the nostrils of God for us to sin. If we realize just how sinful sin is, we will grieve over our sins and we'll be much less likely to go back to them. But if we're just flipping about it and, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, come on. Sin separates man from God for eternity. For eternity. Forever. Sin is nothing to play with. And we need to realize how sinful our sin is. We need to realize how much we need God. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool." One person said, "Mere sorrow, which weeps and sits still, is not repentance. Repentance is sorrow converted to action and movement toward a new and better life." Genuine repentance means that we're going to do the will of God no matter what. We're going to let God work in us. But first, we've got to be cleansed from our sins. And God does that when we surrender in faith and obedience to His Son, Jesus Christ. When we become children of God. Now listen to me and listen carefully. You haven't been baptized yet? You're not a Christian. You draw your last breath today, you lose your soul. You lose your soul. If you are not living right before the Lord, maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel. You believe in Jesus. You repented. You confessed your faith. You were baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. God added you to His church. You were faithful for a while, but you've drifted away. You've sinned. There's something standing between you and God right now. You draw your last breath today, you lose your soul. You lose your soul. Forever. If you go to hell, you never get out. If you go to heaven, you never have to leave. But if you go to heaven, if you go to hell, you never get out. No, we don't need to play with sin. We need to grieve over our sin. We need to realize that we have done wrong and we have cut our own throats, so to speak. We've cut ourselves off from serving God. That's why Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." But he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ." That is submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. He says, "Grieve and mourn and wail." Now, perhaps this is not literal mourning or wailing, but it certainly can be. Some may have to only do it on the inside. But we need to be broken as we realize what sin has done to us, what we have done to ourselves. And if a person isn't broken over their sins, they will go back to their sins. They will go back to their sins. No, how can we be saved from sin if we don't turn from our sin? Most of the world finds sin to be something funny that late night comedians talk about in jokes and such. But the person who truly is seeking God has a heart that is broken because of sin. They are seeking salvation. They're seeking relief. They're seeking forgiveness. Perhaps they're even horrified over the sin in their lives. Humble yourselves before the Lord. These people on television that are fighting against the police symbolize what we do when we fight against God. Stop resisting! Stop resisting! Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. We submit by resisting the devil. We submit by changing. We submit by grieving. Stop resisting God. Submit yourselves to God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite and encourage you to come today as together we stand and sing.